Dear Cheap Astronomy, how are we going to get home from Mars? Sorry, we can't seem to get off doing podcasts about Mars. And that is the topic of today's podcast. How can we get off Mars? Getting something onto the surface of Mars in one piece is a major technical challenge. Getting something off the surface in a controlled fashion is a whole new ball game, and not something we've achieved to date with robots, and doing it with astronauts will be several orders of magnitude more difficult. Calculating how you land on Mars is a bit like calculating Tsiolkovsky's rocket equation in reverse. There's almost no atmosphere on Mars. Well, maybe enough that you can achieve a small slowdown with heat shield aerobraking and with a parachute, but to land any sizable mass safely on the surface, you'll also need retro rockets. And the bigger the mass you want to land, the more retro rocket burning you'll need, and the more retro rocket burning you need, the more fuel you'll need, and that more fuel means more mass. So you'll need even more fuel to decelerate the fuel that you'll need to decelerate with, and so on and so forth. So the idea that you can not only land people on Mars with their life support systems and all that, but also land them on Mars carrying enough additional fuel to allow them to take off again, well, forget it. It worked on the Moon because we had less gravity to contend with. And maybe we can do it on Mars with a pint-sized launcher that's capable of returning a few core samples, perhaps collected by the Mars 2020 rover, but even that's just an idea at the moment. So if you really needed yet another reason why we aren't going to land people on Mars and return them safely to the Earth anytime soon, well, there you go. Although, to be fair to everyone who's thought this through, there is a way, but it involves a whole bunch of untested technologies, which is a polite way of saying it involves science fiction. Although it is fairly plausible science fiction, involving plausibly feasible technical solutions, well, at least they're plausibly feasible technical solutions on paper. There is a strong consensus amongst everyone who's thought all this through that a MAV, a Mars Ascent Vehicle, will have to create its own ascent fuel from resources available on Mars. Making ascent fuel on Mars probably means making methane for the fuel as well as liquid oxygen to burn the fuel. Although CO2 can get you the carbon and the oxygen, you're also going to need water to get the hydrogen that's in methane. Essentially, you put CO2 and H2O together to create methane and molecular oxygen, a reaction that requires energy input, which you can get from solar panels. It's estimated that on Mars, you'll need around 7 kilograms of fuel for every kilogram of launch payload. And let's remember, Mars's atmosphere is very thin, so it will take a long time to extract all the CO2 you need. And it's unlikely you could extract enough water by digging or drilling within the immediate surroundings of the MAV. Of course, you could land a MAV near the poles and then access huge amounts of water, but you'd lose the momentum advantage of launching near the equator, and you'd be landing on a surface that melts and refreezes over the course of a Martian year, so there's all sorts of problems with that idea. So, to fuel the MAV, you would almost certainly have to bring water to the MAV. So you'd need digging, drilling and extraction robots and some kind of long-distance transport system, all of which is technically feasible, but now you're talking major infrastructure that has to be flown in and constructed ahead of the MAV, which itself has to be flown in well ahead of the astronauts. And of course, nothing can go wrong with any of this, because once the astronauts land, they'll be stuck unless the MAV, that they've never actually seen before, let alone test flown before, can really launch. So the chances of seeing boot prints in red regolith in the 2030s look pretty slim. The first ever MAV will almost certainly be a robot that brings back rock samples to Earth And for that much, the 2030s does sound plausible.